One thing that I learned in secondary school is how to be a hustler.
I think I have wicked tendencies, but I'm not wicked.
You're always saying bad energy stay far away, but
bad energy stay far away, but you're the bad energy.
I dare you to lick in Kechi's pants.
You guys don't know I have brain. I have brain.
I got a friend now. First of all, nobody asked. Second of all, your outfit is actually trash and we don't care.
The only time I'm on my knees is, well, that's classified.
Chidera, this is a family channel.
I hope my mother isn't listening to this podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Care Package. We are on episode 71. And on this episode, we have three very special guests with us. As you guys know, we have a repeat offender on the podcast. Sydney, would you like
to repeat offender? Hey, y'all. I am Sydney, Chidera's roommate.
And then we have two of Anu's friends from uni as well, if they would like to introduce themselves.
Okay. All right. Hey, guys. It's Milena.
Hey, guys. It's Veronica. How you doing?
But yeah, guys, I'm sure you guys are like, why did these guys have three guests in the episodes? It's a very specific reason. So this episode, we're just going to be talking about those topics that always come up in conversation, you know, stuff you're supposed to talk about, stuff that everyone kind of like glides over. We're just kind of going to speak about that in different detail. And we have our uni friends here because, like, you guys know me and Anna grew up in Nige, came up from the trenches, went to England, one of us in America now, like, we have the same views on a lot of things, not all of them, but a lot of things. So we just wanted to bring some different perspectives into the podcast. But before we get into that, just quick.
I was just going to say
to buttress what you're saying. Yeah. So basically, there are some topics that we see on, especially if you're a TESOL user, you see them on the TL all the time. And all of us are tired, especially if you're on UK TESOL, you're tired of seeing the same opinions. So we're like, okay, let's get some different opinions. So we have some British babes, we have some Americans, we have some Nige babes. So we'll see what everybody's saying. As Chidera said, before we get into it, we're just going to talk a bit about what's happened this week. And I think in the UK especially, I don't know if Sid watches, but I know Chidera watches. Love Island started about 3 weeks ago. And surprisingly, we haven't talked about it on an episode yet. I don't know why that is.
Because last year we spoke about it and it's a very specific niche, especially since Love Island only shows in the UK. I think a lot of, because how I watch Love Island now, I do pay for a VPN. So that's how I watch it. So I think there are not that many alternative routes to watch it. I think it comes out on Hulu, but every episode is like 2 weeks late. So I think the first episode, the intro episode, just dropped on Hulu. So it doesn't really make sense. So I think, it was a very special niche.
But this, do you watch, does Sid watch Love Island?
No, I don't watch Love Island.
I've tried. It's just...
That is a sackable offense.
Thank you. I feel like a stranger when Love Island's on. And it's like, obviously, time zones. It's like 4 o'clock here. And I'm like running to my room to watch. And all my friends will be like, do you have to watch every day? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I do.
At the right time as well.
I feel like I'm cheating on someone if I don't, you know?
I feel like other than going to the pub after work on a Friday, that is tradition in the UK.
Yeah, literally 9 p.m. every day. I'm there. When I'm making plans, I have to make sure that, like, even when I'm trying to make it, it's like, Love Island's at 9 o'clock. I don't really know. So we won't talk about it too much. So Sid is not feeling left out. But what are you guys' thoughts so far? Who are our favorites? Who are our favorites?
Obviously.
I've been shipping them from the beginning, I swear.
Obviously, Ekin-Su's a liar. David is out here killing everybody. I really don't like Tasha. I haven't liked Tasha from get-go. Like, she just wasn't the vibe. Who else? There's that girl, the funny name, the antagonist. Antagonist.
Me personally, I think Dami and India I like, but I'm still like, the fact that they are doing up romance is weird to me because I've always seen them as just like brother and sister vibes from the beginning. So now I'm a bit like,
if you're not, just say now.
No, it's not about that. I'm just like, I'm best friends to lovers is one of my least favorite tropes. So I'm
struggling. I love that trope.
I hate it. Why would you love it? Why won't
you like enemies to lovers because you like problems?
Oh,
you
I love enemies. I love a good enemies to lovers. Which is why, if Ekin-Su and Davide get back together, I won't be mad.
They will. They have to.
I won't be mad.
No one's giving Ekin-Su the Davide was giving her.
I actually don't dislike Ekin-Su particularly. Like, she's okay. She's funny. She brings the drama. Tasha, I used to like, but this whole issue with Andrew, I think she's stretching it. So I don't know what her problem is. Then after she finished shunning him, she now said, oh, she's self-sabotaging. Andrew's talking about he's not a mug. He's not a mug, but guess what? He's a mug. Who else is in the villa?
I'm really, really here for Jackson Page. Like, fuck that Jay dude. He needs to go home.
Jackson Page, I don't know.
I love it. I think it's good. I love it.
I think they'd last for a while. Casa Amor would obviously happen. And,
I can't wait for Casa Amor.
Apparently, the rumors going around that they're not going to do Casa Amor this year because of how Faye blew up. For everybody.
No, well, Faye blew up because of the cinema, not because of the cinema thing, not because of Casa Amor.
She blew up too.
The first one, she wouldn't have blown up. It was Teddy. She picked somebody else. It's Teddy that came back sad. Do you
know
what I mean?
Anyways, moving on. That Love Island. I see video clips of what they've done.
What about you guys? What are your favorites? Your favorites, least favorites? And if anyone has a lot to say on this topic.
You guys are going to hate me because I haven't been watching Love Island.
No!
National TV, but honestly.
Sackable offense.
I couldn't do it, man. I was like, last year was rubbish.
This year is quite good, though, I think.
Yeah, it picked up very...
I feel like it's building up now.
But the tweets, yeah, like, I'm seeing the tweets and it's funny. Like, it keeps the show going and it's kind of motivating me now to watch it.
As in, are you going to start from now or are you going to start from the beginning?
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay, Milena, favourites, least favourites?
Obviously, Dami and India, let's not play. From the beginning, I could see them watching each other from the other sides of the villa. I don't have time. Whoever, who was that middleman?
Ikenna.
I don't have time. I was waiting for him to just be going.
Not even watching,
I'm not interested in that guy. Dami and India, they're my faves. I want them to get married. I want them to have kids. That's it. And everyone else is irrelevant. I'm not going to lie on the show.
Did see that was really funny was about like this, because I did watch like half of the first episode and I did see like this Amber girl, is it Amber or Angel, I'm not sure, like she was Amber. Like with India at the beginning, yeah, and she basically got dumped, yeah, and then she was now posting how she was like on holiday, but found out that it was an old picture. Holiday. Yeah, literally, I was just like, nah.
She posted a picture of herself in some lingerie in a house, and she's like, oh, catch by some feelings, and the picture was like somewhere in France, but like it was a really old picture, so she made it seem like, oh, she just got off the island and she's traveling, but actually, no. But yeah, on the other side of the world, Roe v. Wade just got overturned. And I'll let you, America, speak on that one because I don't want to say anything
else. We have a lot of thoughts about that.
Sorry?
I said we have a lot of thoughts about Roe v. Wade.
So first of all, just tell everyone who's listening, first of all, what does that mean? So why it being overturned, what does that mean? And how do you guys feel about it?
So do you want to do
it? No. You can go.
Okay, so Roe v. Wade being overturned basically means like it doesn't, I think everyone, a lot of people that aren't here think it means like abortion is just made illegal for everywhere. So Roe v. Wade being overturned means that like states, individual states can now, they do have the right to make it illegal in those states now. So I think
that's why I said let me not speak on it.
So I think that 13 states already that have been like, yeah, we're gonna ban it, stuff like that. And it's just causing a lot of, obviously, I am pro-choice. I don't know what everyone else's views are, but I am in the spirit of letting people make their own decisions because we are all not brought into this world together. But is stirring the pot is kind of like, pro-choice people saying, you know, we're not really pro-abortion or pro-not abortion. We're just kind of saying people should have the choice to decide whether they want to or they don't want to. And then you see all these Republicans coming out being like, you know, I was 17 and pregnant. Look at my boy now, 24 in the army. They wanted
I saw that. I literally saw
and
that.
So people would be like, but you had that choice. They offered you the abortion and you didn't take the choice, like you had the choice. And then apparently there are going to be loads of thing set in place. So it might have been a rumor, but I was reading on Twitter, because you know Twitter is a rumor mill. And I think they were like, if your information's on like period tracking apps, so like Flow, Clue, and all
that. Oh my God, I saw that.
Yes. So I think Clue is different because Clue is apparently owned by a European company. So Americans actually don't have access to your data. But like we spoke about on a few episodes before, like the government can find you by this. Like it doesn't take,
What does it mean? So if they have your, if you have a period tracker app and they have your details, what can they do? Like,
so if you like say you missed your period and coincidentally, this is one of the instances they gave. If you miss your period and you coincidentally like took a trip somewhere while, you know, your period has been missed, it can be classed as, you know, going somewhere else. Like you state that.
So you can get arrested.
You can get questioned. I don't know if you can get arrested.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah.
That is like...
It's all very crazy, and I don't know what these white Republican men's obsession about...
women's health.
Women's bodies, yeah. It's really, really questionable, and it's like, this is what we decided to focus on today, when children are going to school and they're getting shot up, when we have... other issues.
Especially the gun ones. Like, America is all pro-life till guns come into the equation.
And it's like,
I've never heard more facts than these.
And it's like, if you really, really think about it, banning abortions does not ban, like, does not stop abortions. It just stops safe abortions.
That's what's gonna, you know, those IG accounts that'll be like Lashes by Lindy. There's an abortion one. I've seen you have to come with your baby already inside. Like, shit like that is just gonna encourage people to not have, like, safe ones aren't gonna be advised anyway. So like what loads of people are doing, they're stocking up on Plan B's. Like, I think loads of people are getting on birth control. Like, it's just crazy. Like Sydney said, the fact that there's so much shit going on, like the gun violent stuff is just getting out of hand at this point. And it's me having a baby. That's the government's biggest concern. Not the 10 kids that died in Texas. It's me. Me trying to...
Or even the people in D.C. There was the whole Mochella thing and people got shot up on the street. Like, there was real problem. There's a real problem. So why you're talking about a sack of sales, I have no fucking idea. But
yeah, and I know D.C. because... You guys, I don't know, me and Sid live in DC, and we live like not pretty we don't live pretty close to the capital, but we live like maybe like 20 minutes away. I know there have been like rumors about protests possibly, you know, going violent over the weekend, and apparently random pallets of bricks have started appearing across the city because you know, invoking violence so they can arrest people. But yeah, one of my biggest things that I had a problem with is the school we go to, obviously Blue, they made a post and they said that we are 100% pro-life. Pro-life. And
did they? And yeah, I'm not surprised.
There's no really like, it was more disgust than shock. But yeah, that happened and the comment section went crazy. It went completely insane. But yeah, that's what's happening with Roe v. Wade right now. Everyone's really, really upset because it just doesn't really make any sense. And people are saying, you know, they're going to try and take us back into the classical age because the next thing they're going to come for is gay marriage and then gays and then obviously.
I just don't understand what the people's obsession is with other people. It's like, concentrate on yourself. Why are you so obsessed with everybody else?
No, that's a good point, because like before, when abortions were like nationally legal, you could still choose to not have an abortion. You could still practice your religion and not have an abortion.
Yeah, literally. You can literally do your own thing. Like, if you don't want to have your abortion, that's fine. But what's your business to everybody else?
Exactly.
Also, like, the terms of abortion, I think we think of it as, like, you've done the game, you have to do the time, like, right now. But, like, someone said something on Twitter, and it was, like, you know, the process to remove, like, when you have a miscarriage and, you know, the kid's not, like, up to, like, 4 months old, the process to remove that kid is classed as an abortion, and that is now, if it's in your state, that is now illegal in your state. And if you don't remove that kid, like, you could possibly, you know, die. So it's like,
so genuine question, does anybody know what a woman is supposed to do in that situation?
vibe, apparently.
I heard a story about somebody who tried to do something, and this was like in the 70s before they had passed Roe v. Wade, and the father was basically like begging the hospital to perform the abortion because she had children, and it was literally, they were considering letting the mother die.
Wow.
So I think it's probably going to be on a case-by-case basis, and probably like what hospital you're at and how lenient they are.
Also, it's going to like create another set of problems, because someone is saying, you know, it's going to be really upsetting for women that are, you know, sexually assaulted. If they have to have those kids, like it could possibly lead to increased suicide rates. And then the wife goes, it's also going to lead to increased murder rates for those boyfriends and daddies that don't want that kid.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's also just like worsening women's health. Like some women don't want to have to go on like contraception because of the many side effects that already has on the body. So now they're having to be forced to even consider that because, you know, the effects abortions can have as well.
Yeah. But yeah, they're gonna have loads of protests for like a while. No one's pleased. Everyone's kind of pissed off,
and it's like irking because you can't do anything about it, and we didn't directly elect these old fucks who decided on this anyway, so
yeah. Also, like, I don't know how things work over there, so I just wanted to ask, like, let's say, you know, you're in a state where obviously you can't have an abortion, and then could you go to another state where
there are programs that, like, I think there's one called Angel Flies. There are programs that will, you know, support that and try and help you make that, but obviously the government, trying to be little bitches, they're probably gonna, you know, start arresting people and just make it harder, because I know, yeah, they're just probably gonna make it harder for you.
The thing is, it's like, it's not even like the fact that you can go to another state. Like if you're in the middle of, I don't know, Texas, and you don't have any funds, you don't have any support, it's going to be really hard to get to another state, and you're not going to be able to, where you could have otherwise just gone down the street and done.
It's just that accessibility.
Exactly. It's an accessibility thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like this is really put it into perspective for me. Like, I know this is silly, but I'm so far away. Like, you know, I mean, it kind of, when I see it, I'm like, oh, you know, that's really sad, but it doesn't really affect me directly. But now that you guys are like sitting there in DC and I'm thinking about it, and I actually feel sick.
Yeah.
It's really
like, bad. Genuinely, I feel actually sick. Like, that's actually sickening.
No, it's not really going to be hot girl summer like that.
Oh my,
honestly, I think that is the perfect way to segue into lighter things. So yeah, we'll just get right into the episodes. I think when it comes to Twitter topics, the big one, the big one that we're going to get into is dating culture, all these who pays on the first date, talk how long should talking stages be, blah, 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 blah. I think let's start with the basic, who pays on the first date? What are our thoughts?
Whoever asked the other person out. Same. So whoever was the person that was like, hey, would you like to go see a movie with me? They should pay. The person that asked that question should pay.
Thoughts? Anybody. Melana is looking like she wants to oppose. She wants to oppose. Let's hear it.
I agree.
I'm a bit more chivalrous. Like, I always feel like the guy should ask the girl on the first date. I don't know why, like, do you know what I mean? I just feel like that's the way it should be. And then, obviously, that just means that they should pay. That's just the first date, though. And the first date doesn't have to be elaborate. Like, I'm not saying, like, let's go to the Shard, even though, like, if you want to take me there, like, you can get my do you know what I mean? But, you know, just a little tutu, even a little coffee date, even though I don't drink coffee, but you get the point. Like, it doesn't have to be massive, but it is a very nice, like, manly gesture, if you get what I mean. And that's the way I sort of, like...
Okay, but just to put a twist on that, so what do we think about situations where, let's say, someone asks a girl on a date, and like you said, it's not the Shard, but it's a really nice restaurant. At what point do you be like, let's say, you know, you had in your mind that maybe you're going to spend like $100, like whatever, but then the girl you're with starts ordering above and beyond everything. Like, she's running that checkup because, you know, he's paying. What's our
people say this, but honestly, I feel like before you've already asked the person to go on a date, like you've kind of like assessed them a little bit, know what they're about, because like you want to impress the person, but you also need to stick to your own boundaries as well. So if you see this person and you're thinking, wow, this person is way beyond what I can handle, well, you're setting yourself up knowingly. So like you kind of have to have like that open mind and kind of expect the unexpected. So I feel like people need to be careful when they do say, oh, when I can I take you out on a date, like, you know.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. I agree, but if you take me to the most expensive restaurant, I don't want to see you sweating. You better be able to pay.
Yeah,
because we could have gone to I don't know, McDonald's.
Why does everyone say McDonald's?
But it's true. If you plan to take me somewhere, why have you not come to assess the situation and see whether this is a place where you can afford, you know, a good meal for two?
And also going off that, one thing I also don't like is when people have this, they at the beginning, they're taking you to the shower, they're taking you to Hakka, they're taking you to Nobu. And then when they have you, then I start saying, okay, let's stay at home. And then when I complain, then I'll be saying, oh, you're too materialistic. No, but you introduced me to a lifestyle at the beginning. And now you're changing your mind. I don't, like, the thing about me is that to be honest, I've worked this year, so I have a bit more money than I would have, like, last year. But last year, I'd always said, like, I don't have that much money, right? So if I meet someone, I'm very okay with us starting on the same level of let's go to Nando's or whatever, wherever it is. But if you want to start, if you want to start introducing me to the higher places, and then suddenly you now say, actually, I don't want to do that anymore, then you're not, like, no. So everybody just be cutting their coats according to their side. If it's only Nando's you can afford, let her know from the beginning that it's only Nando's. And if she loves Nando's too, then she'll love you for Nando's. If she doesn't love Nando's, then she's not the babe for you. And we move on.
A simple love story. Simple.
But basically, with that being said, preparation is key, I guess. Like,
preparation is
key. Yeah, know yourself and know your partner.
And know your pockets.
Yeah.
Know your pockets.
Okay, the next one is, how long do you think a talking stage should be?
5 months.
It
can't be, I think, once
it's 5 months or 5 years.
Months.
5 years. Yes.
1 or 2 months. After 2 months, you're stretching it now. It's going to become a situationship, and it's going to be a cycle that you want to get out of. 1 to 2 months. That's it. No wasting time. What are we doing here? Do you know how many other people there are? There's so many people.
I feel like two, kind of stretching into 2.5 is okay for me. But like anything more than 2.5, three is even pushing.
Yeah.
It is treading on situationship level.
And you know how we feel about situations on this podcast? We say no to situations. I think for me, I'm going to be really annoying and not give an exact number. I honestly think it depends on a bunch of things. So like, if we're already friends first, then obviously talking stage is going to be shorter, because it also, your friendship was already talking stage, even if you didn't realize, like, when you clock that, you realize you already had a talking stage. I think if the person is a stranger, it also makes a difference. If the person is a friend of a friend, like, I feel like there's so many different situations where it could be different. But I do think, like, what you guys said about like that kind of 2 months, like, not that they have to wife you after the 2 months, but like both of us should be clear of what direction we're going in. Not a thing of like we're still going with the flow. Like, if you're taking me seriously, let me know. Okay, I'm really intending on taking it seriously. If you're not taking it seriously, let me know that as well. Let me not waste my time.
That going with the flow word needs to be banned. I'm tired of that. That word.
Guy, the way somebody told me last, in fact, you guys,
I don't open Pandora's box.
Nah, talking stage. I've seen a lot of talk about how the term talking stage is actually a very new age term. Like, did our parents have like talking stages? And is talking stage the same thing as dating? What do you guys think?
Good question. I always think this to myself.
I think the talking stage is made up of two parts. I think you actually have the talking, which is like maybe the first month, and then like maybe the second month is like, you know, you're going out, like you're doing cinematic, you're doing see if that like physical connection is there. Like, you can connect with someone on the phone, But you can't be talking to them on the phone for 2 months and then see them after the 2 months after they've been like, yeah, I'm really serious about you. Like, you talk to them for the first month. The second month, you know, you meet in public, you start going out on dates and actually see if that physical connection is what it was doing up on the phone, and if you're dead in it or not.
I feel like in the UK, yeah, I can only speak for like here, like the reason we call it talking stage and we hang on to that term is literally because, listen, I'm going to throw it out there, men are not serious. Men are not serious. That we never get to that dating stage. We never get to that second part, you know, the let's go out, let's go, you know, exploring, let's get to know each other on that physical level. We never get there. And that's why they're always talking about, oh, talking stage this, talking stage that. My friend, it's because you yourself, you're useless.
Oh.
That's why you're continuing 6 months
and more time is, you don't want to take a girl on a date. They're just trying to test the vibe, see how far they can.
But they're testing the vibes here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, I think also the talking stage was a term created to avoid insults. So if it's like your friends know you've been talking to this guy, you'll be like, yeah, but it was just a talking stage, like we weren't dating. Like, it's just to like throw it off. It doesn't sound as serious as dating.
But do you know what it is as well? I feel like the talking stage is also there because of social media. Like, back then, you would just be like, you would just see the person that you probably like and be like, oh, let me take you out. But because there's social media, you have time to now scan the person, check their comments, see how they are, assess how you're going to approach them, see what the vibes are saying via text. And then now it's that thing of, oh, I have to talk to this person on text for like 2 weeks before maybe I'll meet them in person. Like, this social media thing has just expanded. So there's now a talking stage and it just makes you avoid being more straightforward.
Yeah,
no, I agree with that.
I was gonna say, just speaking on social media, I think also the creation of dating apps.
Oh my god, Chira, that's literally where I was going. That's
kind of fortified that whole talking stage thing, because obviously on dating apps, no one wants to be catfished, and also you kind of want to know who you're meeting, you don't want to meet a complete stranger. Which is why I think the term talking stage has been, you know, fortified in position in our today's society.
Well, what do you guys think of dating apps? Are you guys dating app users? How do you feel?
Remove them. At first I did, but then I was like, I feel like it just gets rid of the process of just actually just meeting someone in person. And the vibe is different. Like, than meeting them online. Like, when you meet someone in person, you kind of, it's like you're building a story, if that makes sense. Then online, like, you meet bare people online, you connect with, like, online you connect with so many people, and I feel like it's very superficial at times.
Yeah, I feel like it's so lust driven.
Just
like you're just looking at the pictures.
So yeah, even though absolutely, nice. Yeah, you know, it's not all pictures. You put your likes and dislikes. Like, it's not.
Okay.
What is usually attracting someone to, you know, swipe left or swipe right is that first picture they see. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you know, you don't. I feel like when it comes to likes and dislikes and things we have in common, that should naturally kind of flow and, like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? Find each other in conversation. Like Veronica said, it's about like building that vibe between you two, and you can't do that by swiping left and right and by reading what someone likes, that they like dogs. Okay, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, that was really too much for you. Yeah. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like when they created the dating apps, they were probably made with good intention, but now, especially that the one, that Tinder, the first one that was ever like popular, Tinder is not an app for dating anymore. Tinder is just rubbish. And I honestly respect people that use dating apps, but I'm not there. I'm just not the one. Yeah. And I always say, some people are like, oh, but that's shaming people who met by dating apps. But I always say, it's like, I don't want to grow up and be telling my kids about my story with my husband and like, oh yeah, we met on a date. Like, no, exactly. We didn't meet on a date. Us having meet cues, like, you know, we bumped into each other in the coffee shop and he spilled. He bought me a new shirt. I want to have a story, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a good option and I think it works for certain people, but like, I think everybody now thinks like, oh, I'm gonna meet my special person on a dating app,
and that's the way they advertise it, like those apps, Bumble, and especially Bumble, like the way they advertise Bumble, be like, every 30 minutes someone finds a match. Stop the fuck, like, stop lying, no one does. But yeah,
okay. And I also feel like that's how people hide as well, like they only show your profile of what they want you to see rather than you meeting and getting the impression for yourself.
But yeah, okay, what are you guys' dating red flags? What are your icks? What are big no-nos? And what are non-negotiables as well? Like, what must be there in the relationship?
Red flag. Do you not in your life talk about money? In the first few times that I we meet each other, I do. What makes me throw up in my mouth is when, you know, guys come with that, oh, so you're rich, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've got money, yeah?
I think what throws me off in that conversation concerning money is when they are very, like, showy about it. Like, it's very obvious. Like, you can inconspicuously do it, like, you know, if you obviously met this dude, if you want to go sit outside JP Morgan. whatever the code. Like, if that's where you met your dude, and you know, some people are really proud of their jobs, and you can be like, well, how long have you worked at this, is this? And they'll be like, yeah, you know, they really pay me well. Like, that's fine. But not that, like, yeah, you know, they pay me 15K every day. Like,
I think that's a red flag. Like, yeah. Especially because we were talking about the dating and like, oh, you bring me here, you bring me there, you bring me to the most expensive place. Like, always trying to flex. I think wearing like, too many
brands. Bro, the people that wear the chains, let me just say this for everyone. If your boyfriend has more than 5 Cuban gold chains, I'm so sorry, he's banging bank fraud. I'm so sorry. He's definitely banging bank fraud.
It's suspicious.
It's so suspicious, bro.
Like, the money should just talk for itself. That's how you know if you're talking about the money.
That's how you know. Honestly, that's how they, you know, that is, you know when they say empty barrels make the loudest noise. The ones that don't have, they're always talking. They're always flexing. There's nothing there.
That flexing is not cute. Like, is not cute at all. I feel like I've had so many instances where guys have, like, you know, when they just make subtle comments about like the amount of money they have or how much what they're wearing costs. Sort of thing. It's so like, don't do that.
Just stepped on my Gucci A sandal. How dare they? I hate people. They have to say the proper name.
Yeah,
I think one thing that's non-negotiable for me is making me laugh. Like, you guys know, if you listen to the podcast, I laugh very easily. And if someone can't do that, I'm so sorry. There's nothing for you.
Cancelled.
Literally,
I wake up in the morning, I'm in a fit of giggles. How can I see you and I'm just straight faced? Are you mad? Are you the devil? Like, what? Get out of my face.
I think one thing for me that I've started to see as a red flag recently is anybody that describes themselves as a nice guy.
Yeah, bye.
They're not nice. More time, they're not nice. Because if you have to say that you're a nice guy, why does a lot of people say it about you? If you have to say it, then you're not nice.
Don't go off the nice one. Men that say they have a flirty personality, run other way, because you will cry every day.
Flirty personality is code for I can't lie. I'm going to be talking to 100,000 people at once.
Oh no,
too much.
I can't. What do you guys think about that whole conversation about like how, if you start dating a man, like setting boundaries, the female best friend?
That's a good one. That's a very good one.
Hey, could you like expand on that a bit?
Oh yeah, so like, let's say, you know, you started dating this new dude and he's had this friend since he was like, since they went to secondary school together. And like, the girl, like you're not obviously insecure about the situation. But, you know, the girl is giving very, I want to steal your man vibes. How do you approach that situation?
So, like, the whole girl best friend thing, how do you guys feel about a boy with a girl best friend?
The approach is boundaries need to be set. And if not, then you don't care about us or yourself. Because I will go. Why shall I waste my time? I'm not fighting over somebody. Why should I waste my time? There's someone there that clearly wants you. And you yourself, you want the person. Because if you're serious, you will focus on what we have, and because it's your life. Why does she need to be into your life too much? You know, as you grow as friends, you start to realize that everybody has their separate life and they start doing their own thing. At that point, like, what will I actually be doing there?
I think, like you said, I think it depends obviously boundaries need to be set, but I also think it depends on like how the girl best friend acts towards you, like as the girlfriend. So like, is she like every the first time he came around, she's like, oh my God, I love you. Like, I can't wait. Like, he's been speaking about you for so long. And then every time she just always trying to throw out like, oh, have you seen your boyfriend today? Oh, you know, he came over to my house. Like, shit, like, I just.
Oh, I know girls that do that. They're all just like, oh, let's say you guys, like, she buys him something. I'm like, are you sure you want to get that one? Because, you know, 5 years ago.
That's,
you know,
like, girls, I think if she's constantly throwing the friendship in your face and trying to be like, I before know him, you was me, and they will always be me. That's, yeah.
I don't. You can definitely tell, because I feel like the. That the guy would, you'd sort of know what their relationship is by his behavior as well. Because yeah. Like, I've had previous, like in my previous relationship, my ex, his best friend was a girl, but he would like, you know, he introduced me to her. They like, you know, there was, it was kind of like a lot of the three of us and their friends, including her. And she was very receptive to like me, do you know what I mean? And she would like kind of even choose me over him. Like, if you get what I mean, like she was very like, girls girly and made sure that she showed me that she knows there's a boundary between them, sort of thing. But if you're, you know, your guy is hiding the girl from you, not trying to bring you in, that sort of thing, you know something fishy's going on there. And if he's not going to X her off, guess what, the guy is gone.
I agree. I mean, like, as the girlfriend, I'm not gonna do, I cannot do that much mental work. I am not gonna be like, oh, you can't see her here, you can't see her there, if you go here, I'm gonna like, no, I'm not doing all of that. As an adult, you should be, I should be able to trust you to make the right decision. And if you can't do that, then we're done. Like, I'm not checking your likes. I'm not doing none of that.
Bro, people that be doing that, though, that's a full-time fucking job, man.
It's a full-time like, job.
Because they don't have any other job. That's why. They don't have any other job.
What is the snap score one? Do you know how wild that is?
Snap score?
Yeah, the people that will be checking your snap score to see whether you're talking to people when you've not replied them. But
location, I understand.
We'll sleep here. But I think the last thing I wanted to ask on the love topic before we move on to the next topic is, first of all, are you guys looking for love at the moment? Not actively looking, but are you open to it? And because I know a lot of people, especially in British culture, because I feel like that's what I've seen, a lot of people are on this rise and grind. I don't want it right now. Usually it's mainly men, but I'm focused on my career. I'm no rise and grind, no love. But I'm just like, maybe you're incapable of multitasking, but I promise you, you will not die if you have love and you're pursuing your career at the same time. Unless you're in a bad mental place, that's the only way I can understand. Mm. Otherwise, like, I don't really get the whole like grind culture. No need for love, no time for, especially because they'll be saying no time for love, but they'll be hoeing about. Then when they're 25, they'll not think, okay, I'm ready to settle down, but all the girls know that you're a hoe.
The history.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For more time, I think that is like hyper independence because of maybe, I don't know, what past hurt they've had. So they just occupy themselves with this grind culture to just not think, have time to even think about that type of stuff.
I think, I think just as a girl, like basing it off the whole situation, and I know after I graduate, my mom's going to start asking me stupid questions about when am I getting married. But as like me now, like I'm very like, I understand career, school, everything driven, but like it gets only at the top. That's all I'm gonna say. It gets only at the top, and you can make all the money in the world, but after a while, you know, buying 50 Birkins isn't going to bring you the joy and the warmth that someone's love can give you. And I just think, I think, like Ali said, I think you can do both at the same time. I think love and career do go hand in hand because, you know, your friends will support you no matter what you're doing. But like to have someone that you know is permanently in your corner, like constantly inspiring to do well, like trying to build something with you, and you're not building something by yourself, I think that definitely makes a difference in life.
Yeah, I think it needs to be that balance. And I think like if you're just in the mental space, like, okay, now I'm working and I'm going to be working. And then like you cut that off and you're like, okay, now I'm looking for love. Like you're never going to be able to put the two together. because you're in the wrong mental space at the beginning. Like, you need to be able to, I feel like once you have yourself and once you know who yourself are and you figured out your pattern with the work and your school or whatever, then you can really be ready for person.
Good.
Cool. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's that on love. So on to the next section, cosmetic surgery. I'm struggling. I don't know whether it's more popular here or in America. I feel like maybe America, honestly, these days, everybody is getting, but like, what are you guys' thoughts
on it? Like, 8 out of 10 people have lip filler now.
Very true. What are you guys' thoughts on it? Have you ever considered getting anything done, if you feel comfortable sharing?
I think, obviously, comes back to, you know, Roe v. Wade, but everyone should obviously have their own choice to do whatever they want to do. And I know how it is to be in that headspace where you just hate what you see in the mirror. And obviously at this point in technology and at this point in where we are in the world, there are many ways to rectify that problem that are non-invasive. I don't really know if those things work. Like, there's always an ad I'm seeing for cold sculpting. They use ice and like sculpture, but I don't know how that works. But yeah, and I think in terms of, have I ever thought about it? I think, no. I think the only one I've kind of thought about is if I've had my two kids, I'm not losing that weight. Like, I'm just going to get it, like, gone. Like, that's the only one I've kind of thought about. Oh, and also having boob reduction surgery. I'm in back pain a lot. but yeah, those are the two ones I've kind of thought about.
I feel like, do you still feel like boob reduction, if you don't mind, boob reduction like surgery is cosmetic? Because I feel like if you're having an actual like issue, you're in pain and stuff like that, I feel like that's more of a like health, do you know what I mean? Health, yeah, sort of situation.
Yeah, maybe it's just the, you know, oh my God. Maybe it's just the, again, the pregnancy weight of what, if we're talking about cosmetic,
yeah. I don't know if it's more popular here, but I'm like, if you have the money, go do it. My problem is that what these people are going for and going to look like is always changing, and it's so unnatural. It sometimes, when you do the 4, the 5, the 6, the 7, the 20 procedures, it's like, oh, you just look like plastic, and it's not my personal aesthetic.
I feel like in this day and age, it's so easy to like slip. Like, social media is so powerful. Some days, you know, you're like taking a snap, you've got like a filter on, and you're like, oh my gosh, like my nose looks so good when it's like, you know, slim, or like my forehead looks so good when it's like got not like no wrinkles, and you're like, you know what, I could just get a bit of Botox here, like it's only £100, I'll just do it. And then, but then like for me, when I have those sort of like intrusive thoughts, then I have to like kind of bring myself back. And I'm like, why do you want to do that? Like, yeah. Where did you get the idea of like rectifying this problem, in quotation marks? Why is it that you've gone and been like, oh, do you know what I mean? That looks nicer this way, or you need to fix that. Like, where does that come from? And I can say for myself that it definitely doesn't come from like inside me. It's just what I've seen. And I'm like, you know what? This looks nice on Instagram. That looks nice on TikTok. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so hard to differentiate between what you like, I feel like these days, what you really want and what you see is nice, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, and I also think the time that we're in is very, you know, social media, everything based. Like, one of those examples that, like, the amount of prom dresses I saw this year from kids going to, like, we're talking, how old are you when you go to prom? Like, what, 17?
17, 18.
Bro, those dresses, I would not be let out of my house in half of them. Like, everyone had the illusion lace. Like, there was a girl that wore like a bikini top with a really long skirt. And I think loads of girls are trying to, you know, grow up very quickly. And there was a situation I saw on Instagram, and there was a dude that was like talking to his baby mama or whatever. And he was like, where's my daughter? And I guess she's like 17. He's like, oh, I haven't seen her for a while. Like, why is she ignoring me? She's like, oh, I'll tell you, but don't get mad. Like, we need, like, she wants to get boobed up and she's not talking to you because you don't want to give up. At 17? Why do you want to, but, like, what? Like, and then obviously the conversation kind of went into, I'm not letting that. And the mom was like, well, that's the reason she's been ignoring you. I faked your signature and she got the boob job. And I'm like,
yeah, no, I honestly think, going back to what Milana was saying, like, it's social media, like, like, yeah, they're definitely like, everybody has insecurities, which is fair. But I feel like what social media has taught us is that instead of embracing our insecurities and learning to love the things we have, we've been taught, you know, well, if you're insecure about something, just pay some money and get it redone. And I do agree, like, I'm still, you know, everybody has the right to do whatever they want with their body. So, like, I'm not ever going to be like, oh, why did they go and do that? Oh, I don't like this person because they did that. But I just think it's sad that there are some people who do it just because they feel like they have to, not because it's something that they genuinely want to do. I personally have never really considered it just because I'm scared of going under the knife. And I feel like, I don't know if it's worth it like that. But I guess
that's the thing, like you said, I think especially with the amount of people that fly to Turkey or Dominican Republic or whatever, whatever, health is for, like, you have to be alive to live with that new bomb you paid 50K to go get.
Yeah.
Like, people need to start doing their research on these things. Like, you don't just hear from, you know, one guy that's like, oh yeah, I know a dude in Turkey and up and go. Like, I feel like if you're going to, if you feel that, you know, horrible about something and you're going to invest that much money, like, make sure you're getting your money's worth. Like, do that research. Like, it's like an investment. Like, you don't want the thing to pop. You don't want it to get infected.
Some people get BBL. BBLs are BBL to look like
this. Yeah, like BBL Renee. Like,
bro, or some people just don't heal. And it's like, you spend all this, like, you've thought about this for a while, you know? You've set aside 3K to do it. There's a dude in Turkey doing it for 3K. There's a dude in America that loads of people have done for 5K. Why don't you just wait 2 more months, save up 2K, do the 5K one, then 3K one?
Yeah.
Like, at what point do you say, like, maybe money can't buy everything, you know?
Mm.
But yeah.
Go on.
Well, for me, like, I kind of, I don't know, I'm not against cosmetic surgery, but I do like the natural look because I feel like, you know, it's nice to see where people are from and like just their ethnic features, because I feel like with some cosmetic surgeries now and the way it's becoming popular, a lot of people are kind of looking the same because they're following the same westernized beauty standards. And it just makes like just generic idea of what beauty is when it can come in different forms as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I was just gonna say, especially nowadays, like the whole, or like even over the past few years, we've seen like kind of like thicker body types. BBL has become such a huge thing. But funny, and I think the Kardashians are probably one of the first people that come to
mind
of BBLs. But apparently these days, like, you can see that they're, you know, they're slimming down a little bit. They're taking it all out. So it's like, okay, all the young girls who followed in your footsteps are always going to get BBLs. Now that you're slimming down, what are they going to do now? Because it's a thing of, I just want to make sure that everybody has a mind of their own. Like, do what makes you happy, not what Kim or whoever is doing. And even this whole BBL body thing, even these fashion brands are also participating, because if you go on PLT, all these people, everything has one cut out, one hole, one thing that's made for somebody with hips, one thing that's made for somebody with, and I'm just like, some of us are not built like this.
I think that's one thing, like, I would genuinely say, like, obviously I said I would want to, you know, have the pregnancy weight removed, but I would never do something, like, I would just take it out and leave it out. Like, I wouldn't take it out and put on my bum or something. Like, take it out and, like, BBLs are so dangerous because that fat coming from your thighs, you don't know what's in there. You do not know what's in there. But yeah.
Yeah, no, cosmetic surgery. I don't know. And I think also, apart from like BBLs as well, there's also so many things like Botox, lip fillers. Like,
lip filler was it still is a really popular one.
Yeah, no, lip fillers, Botox. My issue with Botox is that what is Botox supposed to do? I think it's supposed to like reduce like frown lines
or wrinkles. Like, yeah. Wrinkles.
Well, some people end up looking permanent.
And I saw a video of Molly May, like when she first came out of the villa, and she had like her whole face done, and I was so shocked. Like, she looks so stiff. She looks in pain. Like, she's in pain.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you look at her now, because you've got basically everything else, and she looks so much better. Like,
yeah.
But I mean. Yeah, I think my advice to anyone who's considering getting it is, it's not bad if that's what you really, really want, but just make sure that is what you really, really want. And also, don't cheap out, because we've heard so many stories of people that cheaped out and it didn't go well. Don't cheap out.
Don't cheap out, bro.
Make sure you're not doing it for a trend or no man.
because I promise you, first of all, the trend is going to die. I promise you it's going to die. So after you spent your life savings or changing your body, what next? When nobody wants anymore, what next? And as for man, if I even start with men, some of them are re-wearing their boxers and they're asking you to change your body and you're listening.
That same Palm Angels that they bought from DH Gates in 2016 is thriving at uni with them.
Relax. Don't do anything for this many, smelly man. But yeah, anyway, on the last section of this podcast, we're just going to talk a bit about culture. And I think this one, I think, came to my head particularly. Because when we had Sid on last time, she talked about where her mom was from, where her dad was from, and then she kind of talked about both countries as where she's from. But I found that it's quite common, or from what I've seen, for African Americans to just refer to themselves as African American, not, you know, the country of where they come from or where their parents come from. Whereas British people are more likely to claim, in fact, they rather claim their country than claim Boris's country, which is fair enough. But yeah, just what do you guys think? What countries do you claim? And how do you feel about people who claim America or the UK over, you know, their original country?
I feel like it's going to sound really mean. I feel like it depends on if you know that foreign country better than you know your, like, home country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are loads of people that, like, yeah, I'm Nigerian, but I haven't been back to Nigeria since I was 5. And it's like, well, how can you really claim some place you didn't really know? Like, if you're making the effort to actively go back and get to know that part of yourself, then fine. But, like, I can't also hold people that haven't been to that country since they were 2 and all they know is, like, America or England or whatever they know.
But what if they grew up with 2 Nigerian parents in the house?
Yeah.
Very Nigerian culture in the house.
But the thing with Nigerian... Well, I think one thing that you definitely see is kids that grow up here as opposed to Nigeria, like, they know they have rights. They know what they can and can't do. Like, even though you have Nigerian parents, like, you know, you're going to go to your friend's house and your friend's yelling at their mom and you're like, oh, that's cool. You go back home and try it. And obviously, you know you're in America. You know you're in the UK. You're going to be like, you can't touch me. I know you can't touch me. Like, so you start adapting wherever you are's culture. Like, I feel like if you're not actively being in the environment where there are other people where you're from, you start having an identity crisis, essentially.
Yeah, I would still give it to them though, to especially like if they haven't been back, because it is hard for some people.
It is hard, like, to go back.
Yeah, it is hard. And like, I feel like the most important thing is like, how a part of the culture are you?
Yes.
To be claiming this. If you literally only go to your grandma's house every 5 years, then maybe not. And like, you're very, very American. Maybe you should not be claiming it. But like, if you're active in the culture and you feel connected to it, why not?
That's fair enough.
Yeah. I feel like most Americans will just say like, we're Black or African American first. Because most of us aren't connected. Like on my dad's side, I have no idea like what African we are, like no clue. But my mom literally was born in Ivory Coast, so like I'm very connected to her side of that culture, so it's kind of half and half for me. But I'm definitely way more American than I am.
No fucking shit.
Like your values as well, like what kind of values you hold, if you get what I mean. Like I remember in school they used to teach us about like British values. And it was just like, first things first, British values do not exist. Because if those are British values, that is just human nature, genuinely. Yeah. Second of all, it's like, whatever the British like culture or whatever they want to call their tradition, God knows, is like, I just don't identify with that. Does that make sense? I identify with like my country, I'm from Eritrea. I identify from like with that sort of thing, the language, the food, the like demeanor of like the people. Do you know what I mean? Like how we look, because obviously that's how I look. That's where I feel like I can identify the closest and where I feel most at home, especially like when I go back there. That's where I feel like, yeah, this is where I'm meant to be, even though I don't live there permanently. Or do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Also as well, like I feel like whenever I hear this, I always find it so strange, because here in the UK, like any ethnic minority will really claim where they're from, but in America it's a bit blurred. But I feel like that's because like some of the African Americans that don't know where they're from. They've made their own culture from adapting in America. Mm. Whereas like a lot of the people that came to the UK, like a lot of them and us are like second, what do they call it? Like second generation.
Second gen, yeah.
So like where we already have like heavy knowledge on our culture rather than I guess like some African Americans who kind of adapted because it kind of got lost along the generational line.
What I kind of have a, not a problem, but what you kind of see quite a bit of is like people that leave their original country to, you know, start a life. Let's say someone leaving Nigeria to come to America, and at every opportunity they get, they're trying to shed that whole like Nigerian thing. They're just like, I'm not Nigerian, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, just shedding that whole thing completely.
But like in America, it's for survival.
That's also
it's
true.
For fucking survival. My mother personally, she watched so many American TV shows to get rid of her accent because they were bullying her. Mm. Like, it's for survival. So I don't knock people who are like, who try to assimilate into culture. I think when they try to be like, oh, I think some people take it a little bit too far.
Yeah, when they just want to like, scrub their hands, like they were never that in the first place. Like,
they want to be the white man.
I understand assimilating and then, you know, slowly integrating your roots back into your daily routine or whatever, but to constantly rid yourself a lot of you, it's a bit dodgy.
It's a bit sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think for me, two things. So I actually really understand the perspective, and I don't think I've ever looked at it this way, so comparing different perspectives actually helps. Like I've never really felt, and I've never really understood, okay, sometimes for survival, for people who do that. But I think my main thing has always been like, it's a bit sad that people feel like they need to kind of like shed their original culture, just because at the end of the day, no matter what we do, no matter what we do to try and like blend in to be like them, they're never going to claim us. Like Boris Johnson is never going to claim me as British. British Patel, I have a British passport, they're never going to claim me. Like at the end of the day, I'm Nigerian. The way I look, I'm black. My name is Anolu Apola. Like I'm always going to be Nigerian. So I understand like people saying, oh, they kind of want, they kind of assimilate for survival, which makes a lot of sense now that I think about it. But my thing is just that no matter what you do, as long as your skin is a certain color, they're just not really going to accept you.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it hard. And the second thing is I don't like when people don't claim, it's fair, one thing not to claim your country, but then when you associate like negative connotations to your country. So this whole idea of being sent back that a lot of British people, especially, I'm not sure about Americans, are really scared of, like, you know, when they're younger, you're bad and then you get sent back. And I know it does help, but, like, I just don't like how it's used as, like, a fear tool.
I think it's used as a fear tactic because I think the classic example is, like, how we speak about boarding school. Like, I went to the Nigerian boarding school that me and Anu met at for, like, maybe 2.5 years. And then, obviously, I went to England. And I think when you do it the opposite way around, your child kind of sees what good they have it and they see like Nigeria as a downgrade and they don't really appreciate like the sacrifice you've had to make for them. And I think that's why a lot of people send people back. It's like, see how the other half lives before you start trying shit.
Yeah.
And you do it the other way around. It's like, you've seen how shitty you can get. So when you get to the good place, like not shitty.
You're just thanking God that you're here.
Exactly. You're thanking God that the plane landed and you made it safely. I do understand how some people do use it as a fear tactic. But some kids, I'm not going to lie to you, some kids that went to England first and came back to Nige, they cut rope and their heads acted accordingly when they saw that no one was here for their shit. Like, so many people I would come back and be like, oh, this is so disgusting. Guy, give me 2 weeks. They were speaking pidgin for you.
In fact, sometimes I even feel, I hear black British people and they're like, oh, even if I went to Nigeria, they wouldn't be able to hold me down. They would tell me to do
they'll
things
be in
I wouldn't
shock.
Listen. I'm just like, oh, you don't know. You think they'll be scared to beat you, they'll beat you. But yeah, anyway, I think that brings us kind of to a close to the end of the episode. Thank you guys all so much for coming. Sid, for coming back again. We love having you. And to Milena and Veronica as well. I don't know if you guys want them to follow you on anything. You don't have to, but if you want them to follow you, or if you have anything to plug, you have a business or podcast, something that you want them to find you on, any plug-in, or are you anonymous?
I mean, everyone can follow my Instagram. It's at Milena Miss. Find me there.
Okay. I'm at Sweet J Rice, 3 E's.
J Rice.
I'm Sydney Johnson D. Same thing.
Yeah, so if you want to follow any of these fine girls, feel free to do so. And make sure you follow us as well at Care Package Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and the Care Package Pod on TikTok. So you know when our next deliveries are. Thank you guys once again for joining us. Till next time. Bye.
This package has been signed, sealed, and delivered. Thank you.